Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that we're walking in the wilderness right now? We're following the Lord. But you know what? We're complaining about these stinking masks. We're complaining that we can't go to the restaurants we want to go to. We're complaining that our freedom is gone. We're complaining about how this country is being run. We're complaining. Let us not be like the children in the wilderness of Israel, that were forsaking their God and hardening their hearts and turning away from Him. Let us look to the pillar of cloud before us and the pillar of fire before us. He is before us. We can see Him. He wants nothing but good for us. He wants to take us to the land flowing with milk and honey, not this land, heaven above. Rejoice for the work He's doing in us. We're here because He still has something for us to do for Him. Rejoice in that. And rejoice that He's taking us to the land flowing with milk and honey.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniel. And I've been coming to this church for a while. And every time I come here, I just feel just God's love. His presence is always here every time. And so a few months back, I had been praying, just asking the Lord to give me something to share with you guys. Because you guys are our second family. If I haven't met you yet, I just don't know your name. But I prayed, and the next day the Lord showed me something, and it was about His timing and how difficult it is for us to kind of understand that at some points. We had gotten into an accident. Somebody had rear-ended us, and we look back and see, like, there's nothing behind us, but we kind of inspect it closer, and we see that a bike had ended up rear-ending us. And I was kind of like... I was like, Lord, why would you let this happen? Like, why? Now we got to pay for this, or now we have to get the insurance done on this. And it's just a bigger hassle than it needed to be. We're just going to get some food. And on the way back, I think about the situation a little more. And I just start praying and asking God, like, hey, why? Why did this happen? What was your reason? And I start to think about the car in front of us, and the bed of the truck was just completely metal. And the way that the young kid had hit our car, if he would have hit that metal truck in the way that he had hit our plastic backing, he would have seriously injured himself very dangerously. And luckily, when he had hit our car, he was able to just get up and walk away. And so the overarching meaning to this is just that even though we might not be able to see that, like, getting rear-ended is a good thing, sometimes if it's in order to prevent something even worse from happening, it's still God's timing. It's still God's doing. So even though we might not be able to understand why being rear-ended is something that is we should look into as God, but it could be. It could be sometimes. So, and I just want to say thank you guys for letting me share this as well. So,
praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Hey, how many love worship? I'm gonna tell you what. When you're in worship, God begins to speak things to you, and it's important that you enter into the worship. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. How many know that? And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not discount the time of worship as just a time when we sing songs, because it's not that way at all. It is a time coming before the Lord, worshiping Him and everything. This is Sarita House of Worship, and that's what we do here. But this morning I had sent John a text, and I didn't realize what I had sent him this morning, that while I was worshiping, God began to just speak to my heart. And how many know today, what is today? What do they call it? What does the world call it? Super Bowl Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. But I had sent John a text, and in that text I told him, I said, hey, may super boldness come upon you today. Amen. And as I was thinking, the word of God came to me and it says this: we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's the spirit of God. You remember Stephen? When Stephen stood up to speak, the spirit, he was a man, the Bible says, filled with the spirit of God. And there was a boldness that came upon him. And I'm just speaking this to each and every one of you today, that a boldness like you've never experienced will come upon you in times where you're not even expecting it. And it's going to come upon you, and you're going to begin to just speak the things of God in the world out there. No matter who hears you, you don't care, because it's God speaking to the earth. How many say amen to that? Amen. It's the Spirit of God. Today is about the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You might be saying things you don't even know. You might be saying things you haven't even thought of, but it'll come flowing out of your mouth, because it's not you, it's Him. It is the Holy Ghost. So I pray today, that you would be filled with super boldness in the name of Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo, you know, I just got something. All this week, when God gave me these songs, I'm going to be honest with you. There was a few times that even during the week as I was listening to him, I was going, I don't understand, God, why you had me pick this song with this song. And, ooh, this is going to be interesting. I'm not really sure. And right now, I just realized through his speaking that what he's speaking to us about, what Pastor John is speaking about, is through all things, you already have victory. Do you know that the love that he showed you, when he went to die on that cross, from the time he was born, as he grew up, as he was learning, he knew what his fate was. He knew where he would come to. He knew exactly what he'd have to do. And through every circumstance and every single thing he went through, he turned to the Father. And he knew that the plan was greater than anything else. He knew, if I keep going, if I keep doing exactly what you've called me to, what I've come to this earth to do, you know what you're doing. Could you imagine if he deviated from that plan in any way? Man, because of him, we have victory over death. The Bible says it. It says that he defeated it, that he took care of it. And that's something that you walk with knowing every day as a promise, is death has been defeated. And there's nothing else that can come against me, because you have done all things. You have already cleared the path. You've known exactly where you're taking me. You know exactly what I'm going to do next, because God, you ordained it and you've brought it to God. Do you know that he loves you and he's already taken care of every single thing? Just like this song says, you know, this song is not just a song. You're singing your promise. He's already done it. He's already given you favor. He's already done all things for you just because you are his child and you are royalty. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget that he created you for greatness, that he created you for more, that he created you to do great and mighty things. Because all things are possible.
I just wanted to say, I work in a hospital, and so, you know, there are so many people that are so scared, and, you know, everyone in where I work in my department has gotten sick, but I haven't, and it's amazing. So I know that God's taking care of me, you know, and I'm really happy about that. So, yes, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible tells us not with blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all. You know, when I think about that scripture, there's a couple of things I think about. I think about when Christ, Jesus, went to the most holy place. But I believe the holy place he's talking about, too, is in here. He said, I want to enter the most holy place so he can do what he wants to do. You know, Pastor John said a couple of weeks ago, and I pondered this, you know, for the couple of weeks, and he said, you know what? He goes, we must decrease so that he can increase. Okay, and I go, okay, God, you want us to decrease. And what I hear is this, because I believe before Jesus said, he goes, I am the light of the world. Then he goes, tag, now you're the light. So I believe what he's telling us is that, you know what? You need to decrease yourself, Rick. You need to get away from TV. Get away from stuff that's bringing you down and increase in me, because I want to work through you. I want to do some things that I want people to see. He goes, so I want you to decrease in this so that I can increase. So we need to increase, people. I believe God is getting ready to do big things in this world. And Pastor Henry, a couple of weeks ago, was speaking on the power of words. Okay, and then I believe that what I was hearing when he was speaking this is what I heard from God speaking. He goes, okay, we're speaking all these words. And we go, why, Lord? Why? Do something, God, do something. And God is saying this, say something so that I can do something. Say something so that I can do something. He said, you know what? He goes, you decree, I will establish, and the light will shine. You decree it, I will establish it, and the light will shine. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing in this world. And even this young girl right here, you know what? You decree, you know what? I am not going to get this sickness. I am not going to, you know what? God, you are my protector. And Lord, I thank you because you have protected me. And you know what? You are a vessel in that hospital right now that, you know what? As soon as you walk into that hospital, you're already releasing anointing. You're already releasing that healing over the doctors and everything else. God is shining on you right now. Right now. And you know what? The first song was... Not the first song, but I heard it. There was a message on one of the songs that I saw that God will finish what he started. And I remember when President Trump, the last words he said before he left office, he gave his speech and he said, you know what? And this is just the beginning. I go, Lord, I received it because you know what? I'm still standing in faith with the people that have been prophesying, you know, that something's going to happen. I believe that we are there. I believe that right now, where we are sitting right now, is that God is preparing a place that the enemy is getting ready to come down. So I believe that we are right now, that God is preparing the table, and now we are not facing the enemy, but we are facing God, and God is getting ready to do his work. You know what? It's going to happen, people. I believe it. I believe it in my heart. Something's getting ready to change. Something's getting ready to break. And I believe that, you know what? This is just the beginning. And God bless you. That's all I have.
I want us to do something right now. If you can, please stand. And I want you to raise your arms up to the Lord. And I want you to whisper, just whisper, Jesus. Name above all names. Just whisper that. Let it come from your lips in a whisper. Jesus. 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 Reach out to him and just whisper. Now let it come out as you would normally speak. And just say, Jesus. 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 Now, can you be a little bolder and say it a little louder? Jesus. 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 Call out to him. Call out to the name above all names. And now, can we say it with super boldness? Just yell out to him. Call out to him. Jesus, he wants to answer you. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We welcome you. Jesus. Jesus. You know, that's all we got to say. That's all where we have to call out to. And all is well. Unless somebody else has a word. Thank you, worship team. Whoa. I'm going to have to put wheels on this guy. Like Pastor Henry said, boy, this is the place to worship, that's for sure. I love it. And if, as Abe mentioned earlier, if you guys want to get a little more of what we do on Sunday morning, come Friday, okay? This is going to be one of hopefully a few more of our times together in the evenings. And it's going to be worship music and just praising God and prophesying and giving your testimonies and just spending time with each other. So I hope that you become a part of what we do. It's not going to be every Friday, but it will be maybe quarterly or something. We'll see how things go. Pastor Henry mentioned about sending that word to me this morning. And that boy does have a way with words, don't he? No, every time that I preach, he sends me something that morning, and always an encouraging word. You know, he's always wanting the best for me. And, you know, as you see on your bulletins, the title of my message today is Love. And I tell you what, I receive that from Pastor Henry on very countless occasions. And I know that you guys do also. So I thank him for always lifting me up. And I know he does that with the rest of you too. So the past two Sundays, Pastor Henry, the message he's had has been on knowing that knowing is everything. That's been his last two Sundays. He's had a part one and a part two. And I couldn't agree more with what he's speaking on. Because when you truly know that you know something, it becomes embedded in your heart. Embedded. If God placed it there, there is even nothing that can pry it out unless you choose to let it go. And so when it comes to allowing God to show you those things that are so important to us and that we allow him to place it in such a deep part of our hearts that we'll be able to fight the battles, we'll be able to walk in those places that he wants us to be in. And that's what the Word of God should be for us. As every declaration, every promise, and every word should become embedded within our hearts to the point that we're not going to let the enemy take it out from there. We will stand in that. We will declare and we will stand on the promises. So I'm going to tell you something that I know. I know that Jesus loves me. And not only because the Bible told me so, We learned that little song a long time ago, didn't we? And what a cool thing. You think it sounds like, oh, it's just a kid's song. Uh-uh. It's just like saying the Our Father, you know, we take it as just something that's the first prayer you teach your children. Uh-uh. There is power. There is power in praying the Lord's Prayer. There is power in realizing that Jesus loves you. And that's what the Word tells us. And I tell you what, I see that from the moment that I awaken each day. I see it in the face of my wife. And if I kind of pause every now and then, bear with me. But what my wife has loved me for 50 years. And this September, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. She thought she got a good deal 50 years ago. She got a guy with hair and a guy with some six packs. And oh, what those 50 years have done. She's wound up with a guy with no hair and the six packs turn into kegs. But guess what? I think today we love each other more than we did back then. I know that I love her more than I ever did back then, and she loves me more, and she shows me that. I don't have a doubt. I can depend on her love, and that's why I say I see it every morning as I awaken in the morning. And, you know, as our outward look, if you want to call it, has changed, but so has our inward. Our inward has changed. We've allowed the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside. And when you allow that to happen, the outsides don't matter that much anymore. You know, she can put up with my keg, and it's okay, you know. It's like we don't look at those outward things in the same way that we did when we were courting, or when, you got to admit, you know, when you first check out somebody, it sure ain't, you're not looking at the insides, you know. We'd be lying if we said that, right? We look at what they look like and whatever, and that's kind of vain, but yeah, it happens. But her inwards have truly also been changed, and that's a very good thing. We've allowed the Holy Spirit to have His way with us, and it has done nothing but make our lives a lot more joyful. Make our lives. I look forward to every day of hanging out with her. She is my best friend. And I would rather not be with anyone in this earth than with her. And then also I see His love in the faces of my children, my grandchildren. I see God working in them. I see the fruit of the time that we've spent with Him. We just didn't have Him come into this world and let Him go. We've invested. We have invested in my daughters and my grandchildren, and I'm starting to see the wonderful fruit of that investment. And you know what I hope for? That I will see greater things through them than what God's even doing with me today. I bless them in that way. I expect it in that way. I know God has already done it. And there was a time when my life was not that important to me. But I'm so glad that it was important to God. And we all have our stories. But I never thought that my story would include me standing in front of the body of Christ and proclaiming his word. And I know Pastor Henry has made the same statement. We really didn't ask for this, but I'm so glad I got it, you know. And as I look back at where I've been and where I'm at today, you know, I can't even relate to that guy back then. I can't even relate to the guy that was pre 50 years ago. And other than the memories, I don't even want to go there anymore. That's not a place I want to be. Where I am today is a place that has just satisfied me in any way that I could imagine. I thought I was having fun back then. And for that, where I was, yeah, I guess I said I was. But I'm having way more fun today than I ever did back then. It is wonderful to see God working and to be used, that he would honor us with whatever he's given us that we could give out to those that he loves. And something else that I know he loves you. And as I said, the title of my message is Love. And if you see on your bulletin, it's love and it's got a period at the end of it. There's no more to be added to that. There's no more before it. There's no more after it. Love, period. Everything else, you can circle around it, but that word has so much meaning. And if we can truly embrace that, as we said, if you really, really know it, that's part of what Pastor Henry's been teaching. Knowing is everything. And I hope that today it touches a few of you in the area of love. So before I go into the word, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given me, Lord, the opportunity to speak your heart, Lord. And Lord, you have built up my heart to know your heart, Lord. But I don't want me, Lord, as a person to get in your way. So, Lord, I thank you that this message today, Lord, comes from your heart, Lord. And I ask that those words that come forth from my lips, Lord, are what your heart wants to convey today, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first place that I want to go to is Mark 12, starting with verse 28 and going through 33. And we take a minute here. Okay. Starting on verse 28. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And when you look at this, Jesus summarized all of God's laws. And when you love God completely and care for others as you care for yourself, you'll fulfill the intent of the Old Testament laws. And you know what? Following Jesus shouldn't be that complicated. And that's just one example right here where, you know, Jesus, you know, sometimes we think that he came with his lovey-dovey and all that, but yet he told it like it was. You know, a lot of what was spoken in the Old Testament, he really made it harder in the New Testament, and we seem to think that he made it easier. But in a sense, he just explained it better. He's, you know, why, if you obey these two commands, you could say, well, he threw away eight commands, but they're all in that, in those two commands. Why would you want to steal? Why would you want to covet something, covet somebody's wife? Or why would you want to murder somebody if you love them? It's just not even in, and should not even be in your comprehension. And so when Jesus said this, the love that we have for God, if we really understand what he's given us, is the only way that we are able to give love to those that we hang out with, our families, our the people at the grocery store. It's got to come from God, and we got to understand where we are with that. And yet, some of us have issues loving God or allowing him to love us. We have an even tougher time truly loving those around us. We shield or we place limits on our heart, and we don't allow some people to come close. And I don't think that is God's intention, that we would shut down because maybe we're too afraid that we're going to get hurt, whether it be by God, in a sense, that's your understanding, or by someone that you thought really loved you and something happened that didn't turn out that way. So I hope that today's message will allow you to fulfill what Jesus saw as the two most important commandments. And one thing to remember is that he said, these are commands. These are not suggestions. And so I believe that today, and I've been really sensing this, that there is an open window. There is an open window today for restoration. Restoration of relationships. And I see it specifically in your families, our families. You know, there's always that place, but I really see God moving in this. And I remember Steve mentioning last week of his time with his daughter, with their daughter. And when you look at that, to me, it was like, you know, I've been seeing this, and I just see a greater relationship restoration taking place. So when God opens a window, opens a door, and you don't walk through it, that's bad on you. Here's your time. Here's your time to reach out. And, you know, this is a time for forgiveness. This is a time for blessing. And one of the points that I want to make as I'm speaking is that true obedience comes from the heart. You've got to want it. You've got to take a chance, if per se, and you've got to go for it. And if God's already saying, you know, if the Lord through his Holy Spirit is stirring your heart to reach out to somebody, take advantage of that open window today. When our heart is right with God, it's not as hard to do as it may seem. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do what we thought was impossible. And you know that we can do all things with the strength of God. It's not us. Not us that can do it. And we mostly try to resist that, because if somebody has rejected us, we kind of give it up. And yet, with God's love, we can do this. So, what meaning does the word love have for you? We use it so easily. I love that movie. I love tacos. Right, Pastor? Come on. This is the only time I hear, come on. Ay, ay, ay. I love that dress, or I love those shoes. You know, and sometimes in an even more derogatory way, the word love has kind of seemed to kind of be very loosely part of our vocabulary. The worldview of love has contaminated and distorted our understanding of the true meaning of love. And no doubt that feelings are involved when you love. You know, my heart still leaps when I truly see my wife, especially when she's cooking me a fresh pot of beans. My favorite. And, you know, as funny as that may seem, but something that simple, cooking a pot of beans because she knows I enjoy it, fresh made out of the pot with all that nice juice. And but anyway, or Pastor Henry's mentioned his dishwashing, you know? Those are things that please our wife or our husbands, or something that you do for one of your kids, you know? There's ways that we can express the love that we have in the simplest of ways. And it's really not as hard as we make it, you know? If we start letting it flow, because it's there. If you love God, that love is there. We may be trying to shield it or hold it back, but it's there. And so find a way. Find a way to show somebody that you love them. Or even include in there, how about just saying it? How about when you walk by somebody, give them a hug and say, I love you. But don't just say it in passing. Allow that word to be real. I love that heart, that they would not hear that word, but that they would see your heart in it. It's so easy, as I said here, to just say, I love this, or I love, you know, how many times you go, love you, man, you know, doesn't mean nothing, you know, other than another word. But when you say, you know, when you really let your heart come through with what your mouth is saying, people will know. People will know. Find a way. And a lot of it, as I said, is in actions, the things we do. The Word of God tells us that God is love. So there is surely a deeper meaning for that word. And the best picture of complete love for God is placing your heart on a table and allowing Him to have full access to the depth of it. Openly placing your heart requires faith and a deep trust that He is able and will care for it. And the same applies for those in our lives. Opening our hearts for someone makes us vulnerable, especially when it's not met in the same loving, with the same loving response. And I'm sure you would agree that there are some people that make it hard for us to love them. I think we all have those, right? Sometimes our efforts seem to just become exhausted. You've tried, you've prayed, you've looked at ways to do, and just doesn't quite work. So I want to read 1 John 4:19. Just one verse, and it says, we love because he first loved us. You know that there was a time when we may not have seen ourselves as being so lovable. And yet God loved us enough to have his son die for us. And today, we may see ourselves in a new light. We go to church, we pray, we tithe, we've raised our children in a godly way. We have grown as it was intended. And you know that God is pleased. But do you know that he doesn't love you today more than he did when you were pushing him away? Just because you're doing the things that you're doing, I think he's pleased with us that we are where we are. We've grown. We've gotten to know his love more. But he loves us the same as that person that is still out in the world right now, facing confusion and not knowing what to do. And yet God sent his son to die for that person, just as we were there. And so God's love doesn't depend on our works, okay? But yet our works come because we love him. And I want to do all I can, all within the power that has been given to me, to please him, to go to the next step, to be there where he wants me to be. And so, someone in your life may not be in the place that you think they should be. And I want to read the same verse, 4:19, but out of the Passion Bible. And I have it here, Abe, so you don't have to put it on there. But it says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. That should be our response. Should we not be grateful? Oh, he's got it there. Good. Should we not be grateful for all that he's given us? And because of that, our response should be to reach out to those that maybe are not quite there today. And that his love, there's enough love for us, and also to include those that don't even understand. Those are the guys pushing him away right now. But you did. I did. I kept telling him later, you know, I'm having too much fun. Or at least I thought. And we may have been there once, and yet God loved you through it. And he never got exhausted. We should be as God, and not one waiting to spew wrath. Sometimes we get that picture of God, don't we? Him sitting on a chair up in heaven and just kind of looking around and seeing, oh, there's Rick. I'm going to throw something at him. You know, he hasn't done anything bad, but just for fun, you know. That's not our God. Our God wants to shower us with blessings. And rather than to look at him with this wrath that is ready to come at us, how about look at him as a father that wants the best for his kids? You know, a lot of us are fathers, now grandfathers. I would never, ever, no matter how bad my kids have gotten, I have never wished the worst upon them. Mm-mm. I pray for things to get better. I pray for those things that maybe they're not doing in the right way. Is there something I can do to help? Is there something I can say to bring them to a better place? But never to condemn them and never to wish the worst for them. I want the best for my kids. And why would our Heavenly Father, you know, if we got that kind of love is in us, we can't compare to what the love he has for us. He wants blessings for us. So when I wake each morning, I thank him for another day. And I know his blessings will follow me through the whole day. I find his grace. I find his mercy. I find his favor and his embrace when I need one. And I find the Father that I never had. And I can come to him as a child. Maybe sit on his lap and put my head upon his chest and just hear his heartbeat. And then I rest. What a place to be, huh? A place that I pray for all of you. Find that time that you can just go and don't look at what's the next gift you can use or what's the next big ministry that you can do. Can you find a time that you can just go sit on his lap, just lean on him, not worry about one thing except just being there? Nothing to worry about if you're there, right? And then a day, here we got the blessings, everything's going great. And then a day may come without any request that a crisis appears. And during those times that you see the love of God as never before. And you know that he will take us through that, whatever it is that we're facing. So I want to read two scriptures in conjunction with each other. First one is Romans 5, starting with verse 1 through 5. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And now I want to read Romans 8:26. Starting with, ending with 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I wanted to read those two simultaneously, because the first one talks about going through times of suffering. And it is those times that we feel sometimes exhausted from whatever that crisis is. And yet, as that second scripture says, that God works in all things for the good of those that love him. So the question to you is, do you love him? I hope the answer is yes. Because if you do, then whatever crisis you're going through, if you really, really love him, regardless of what it looks like, he's going to work it out for your good. He walks with you through those times. And it's those times that, as the first scripture says, we grow through those times. And it's a time that you come to a place, and like the second one said about the groaning, sometimes we don't even know how to pray anymore. You've done it all. You've said every prayer. You've You've done everything that you know, in a sense. And you know what? That is the time when we really submit to God. And now he says, let me take over. Let me do it. You get out of my way. Get out of my way so that I can do what I've always wanted to do in this crisis situation. So yes, there is a glory in those sufferings and or you go through, but I don't think that anybody wakes up in the morning and saying, boy, where's the next suffering I'm going to go through so that I can grow? They come on it on their own, trust me. They come on their own, but know that you have a God that wants to fight your battles, that wants to guide you in the right direction, that wants to walk with you through whatever that crisis would be. And you know what? That many of our crises are caused by our own actions. If we had followed what God said, we would not be in it. But, you know, God left us a book full of do's and don'ts, moral absolutes. And he left his Holy Spirit that he may guide us in that right direction. So I want to look at a few of these do's and don'ts. So let's go to Ephesians 4:21, starting with verse 21. Okay. And we'll start off here with 21, and we'll stop at around 25 or so. We'll see. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off... Oh, let's stop right there in 24. So I want to just comment up to that point is that whenever we have accepted Christ, there's already should be a change within us. And the toughest part to convince is that guy up here, right? And our hearts already know, our spirit already knows what we should be doing. But there's a transformation that's taking place, and you got to convince that brain of yours to make that change. And I think that's what he's talking about. Our heart is right with God. Now let's get this guy to agree with it. I've heard the comment that the farthest distance is from your heart to your head. You know, people can't get that from here to here that easily, but you know, you can go across a nation and get there with no problem. So it's getting there and convincing your mind of those things that are already embedded in your heart. So let's go on. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So right away, that's saying to, when you speak to somebody, don't lie to them. You know, you look at the things that a simple, if you want to call it, little white lie does, and the big ball that can be created for that little lie. You know, you look at kind of what David went through, and, you know, one thing led to another and another, and before you know it, he was in big trouble instead of just what he started with. And so lying, I mean, that in itself is saying that you don't think much about that person that you're speaking to. It shows that, you know, if I tell that person this, you know, he'll get off my back, or, you know, I can get by. Sometimes we try to come up with white little lies. There's no such thing. A lie is a lie. And so be truthful to people. And then it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So just speak the truth. Get it out in the open. God cannot deal with things that are kept in darkness. Bring them to the light. Get them out there. And even if it's something that's not so cool at the moment, because it's out there now, God can take care of it. And then again, it says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Check that out. Get angry at somebody, and you let it fester. The day goes on, and it's probably more evident with your spouse. It could be a silly little thing that you guys talked about, but now you go to bed, you're thinking about it, and look what it says. You're giving the devil a foothold. And guess what? The devil doesn't need much of a space. He's gonna find a way to get into not only your head, but into your atmosphere, your family. So the sooner that you can get that out there and talk about it, you know, guess what? Communication, right? That's got to be the best way to settle whatever it may be. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. You know, sometimes we don't give credit to our kids. Oh, they're just a kid. They don't need, you know, I can tell them anything. No. Set an example for them. Don't lie to them. Tell them how life is. Tell them what's going on. At the same time, you got to protect them. You know, so God should guide you into how you do this, but teach them so that they don't do it. Because if they see mom and dad do it, maybe they're going to take it upon themselves to do the same thing. So never go to bed and keep that anger within you. Talk about it. Let it go. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so that to say, what comes out of our mouth has to be really be looked at. And some, Rick, I think, mentioned the power of words. Because look what it says on verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, that is really something that we should all be very alerted to. How can I or you want to grieve the Holy Spirit? The Spirit that wants to take care of you and guide you, and that Spirit that has been given to us, that gives us that access to our Daddy, our Father God, our Abba Father. And yet it says that we can grieve Him. How do we grieve Him? By the way we speak, by the way we act, the way of our lives, the way our lives go. It's not doesn't mean that you're going to get a stamp to go to hell. He still loves you. But the Holy Spirit is grieved when He sees our way of life, if it's not in the righteousness that we should be in with Him. And so I hope that somewhere along the line, you find a way to not grieve. Okay. I want to go now. I'm going to skip Romans 12. It's pretty much in the same lines. Romans 12 has some other things to look at, but I'm going to skip that for now. But all to say that what we're talking about here are do's and don'ts. And God says, you do it this way, you're going to have a blessed life. You don't do it this way, you're going to find yourself in a crisis of some kind. I want to have a blessed day. And so the more I see the right way of doing things, that's where I want to go. So I hope that you are in that same place. So I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, so we're going to get you out of here on time. Super Boldness Monday. So I'm going to read four scriptures simultaneously also. And I'm going to start with John 21:20. I think Steve will get a kick out of this one. So it says, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? And now we go to also John 21:7. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, and for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. Now let's go to 22. And it, did I say that one? No, you can go to 22. I don't know if I gave you 9. 20 verse 2. And this one says, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. And then one more, John 19:25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. We can stop there. The reason I put these in conjunction here is that John, yeah, when you write a book, you can put your name in there too, you know. But the point is that John knew Jesus loved him. He knew he loved him. And one of the places that you see some of that love is, you know, Jesus entrusted his mother to John. You know, he showed even that the love for him. So the point being is that there was no question in John of the love that Jesus had for him, which is the same place that we should be today. And so do you see yourself as he sees you? Or do you see a flaw and even being maybe unworthy of being loved? And I want to read one more scripture and then we'll end with that. And this is in Genesis 1:26-31. And it says, so God created mankind as his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. And they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life, I give you every plant food. And it was so. And this is the verse that I want you to remember. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, this is the entire creation. And on the last day, he created a human. And he says, it was very good. You are very good. He doesn't see the flaws. He doesn't see all those things that you see when you look in the mirror. And God is one that doesn't lie, right? You agree with me? So if he says that you are very good, you are. Now, we don't all look the same, but yet we were all created in his image. So here's the question. Can we love people just where they are? Can we accept their thoughts, even if we don't agree? Can we wait as we pray for someone to find the truth, just as God waited for us? God's grace meets us where we are. Can we give grace to those that are in our lives? And that's the end of my sermon. What I felt that God wanted me to do at the end of my message here is that he wants you to know his love. And so what I'd like you to do is stand. And I'm just going to pray that you would be, think about it like God pouring a pitcher of honey, and that's love that's pouring on you. He's already there, right? You brought the Holy Spirit this morning when you walked in. So it isn't like we have an invitation for him. He was already invited before you left home, before every day. And so that's what we're going to pray for. It's just love. The love that God has for us is a free gift. Amen. That presence that is already within you is how we can receive that love. So as the worship team just plays a song, I'm going to pray and just receive the love of God upon you. Father God, pour your love, Lord, upon us, Lord. And Lord, that we would open our hearts, Lord. And just as I said, Lord, that we place our hearts on the table, Lord, we trust you with our hearts. There is no one that we trust more with our hearts than you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome what you're doing this day. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we welcome your blessings upon your people, Lord. That every person here, Lord, would be blessed with revelation, Lord. That every person here would be blessed with the boldness, Lord, that we need for this day, Lord. The boldness to go to those, Lord, that maybe have hurt us and to speak forgiveness, Lord. To welcome them back into our lives, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.